Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai, Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada, Mahan Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stavira, Srimati Bhaktivinoda Swami, Namaste Saraswati Guru, Vandana Chandra, Sisi Sumani, Paskacha, Vesa Tama, Vandana, Sri Guru, Sri Jamakarakam, Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana, Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajiva, Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Vrijana Saitam Shruche Chandadevi, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita, Sri Shakam Vitamscha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
May 11, 2009. Oh, okay, it wasn't on. In Honolulu, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. This is the section where the dead son has been brought back to life and is preaching. This is text 11. Nadata
Atma
Hi Gunam Na Dosham Na Kriya Palam Udasinavad Ashina Paravara Drig Ishvara Nadata Atmahi Gunam Nadosham Nakriya Palam Udashina Vadashina Paravara Drig Ishvara. Accepts
Atma,
the Supreme Lord.
He,
indeed,
Gunam,
happiness.
Na,
not. Dosham, unhappiness. Na,
nor.
Kriyapalam, the result of any fruitive activity. Udashina Vat,
exactly like a neutral man.
Asinaha, sitting in the core of the heart.
Para avara drik,
seeing the cause and effect.
Ishvara,
the Supreme Lord. So this is the last verse of the instructions given by the revived dead son of Maharaj Chitraketu. And here he's talking about the difference between fruitive activities, karma pala, and udashina, neutrality. So translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. Purport. The conditioned soul has friends and enemies. He is affected by the good qualities and the faults of his position. That's guna dosha, the good qualities and the faults. The Supreme Lord, however, is always transcendental. Because he is the Ishwara, the Supreme Controller, he is not affected by duality. So duality is this is good, this is bad. It may therefore be said that he sits in the core of everyone's heart as the neutral witness of the causes and effects of one's activities, good and bad. We should also understand that Udashina, neutral, does not mean that he takes no action. Rather, it means that he is not personally affected. So some people say that God has started the world and then he removes himself and doesn't take any part in human affairs, doesn't take any action. And so Prabhupada says here that's not the fact. Krishna is taking some action. But he's not personally affected. For example, and this is, of course, very interesting, we should take instruction from Prabhupada, Narada Muni, Krishna himself, on how to teach. And here Prabhupada's using an analogy. So the use of analogy and stories is a very important method in being a teacher. You take something difficult. How is it that God is neutral, but he's still acting? If you're acting, you must not be neutral. So Prabhupada's giving an example. A court judge is neutral when two opposing parties appear before him, but he still takes action as the case warrants. So why is the judge neutral?
He doesn't favor one party or the other.
Why doesn't he favor one party or the other?
Because he's acting, his deliberations according to the law, not according to the interests of those parties.
Okay, so he's looking at the law rather than the personal interest, but doesn't he look at the interests of the parties too?
Maybe to determine motives.
Motives? I think I've used to teach civics for high school, and I spent a lot of time taking my students to court. And I saw that the judge was often very interested in the welfare of the litigants or the criminals. And he wanted to make sure that people really got a good situation. So I wouldn't say that he didn't care about the individuals, but how is he neutral? Yes, he cares more about the law, but how is he neutral exactly?
Well, he's not affected.
Why isn't he affected? What do you mean by that? He doesn't get any personal benefit. So whether person A is a criminal or not, or whether person A or B wins at the law, he gets no benefit and no harm. Now suppose the judge is in a situation where he or she would get benefit or harm. Then that sometimes happens. Sometimes happens that the person brought in front of the judge is one of the judge's relatives or friends. Then what has to happen? Then the judge does what? He recuses himself. He says, I'm sorry, I can't sit on this case. I have a personal interest. And even if you're called to jury duty, which I've been several times, one time I was called for a civil case, and they said, has anyone in the jury ever been involved in a civil case? And I said, yes. They said, okay, you go. They didn't want to know what was the nature of it, who was suing who, what it was about. They just said, okay, if you have any personal experience with this, we don't want you here because you're going to be prejudiced. And sometimes for jury duty, a couple criminal cases where they excuse people who had anything, they said, have you or anyone you know ever been robbed? It was a robbery case. And if the answer was yes, then that was it. You were off the jury. So the judge is neutral because the judge, it's not only just that it's their job, but they literally, physically, grossly have nothing to gain or lose by the results of the parties. It's not just that they have a particular mentality. It's that on a factual level, they're not personally involved. So that's also Krishna's position because he's Atmaramanaptakama. He's Om Purnamidam, Purna Purnamujachate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vasishchate. He's already full. You take away something full, he remains full. So he has nothing to gain or lose with the results of the conditioned souls. Therefore, he's neutral. To become completely neutral, indifferent to material activities, we should simply seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Neutral Person. So this gives us some hint as to how we can also become neutral. Maharaj Chitraketu was advised, now this is a very interesting sentence. Can I get a Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, it should be one, right?
It should be one somewhere around here. Maharishi Chiketu was advised, and if you could open up to 620 for me, that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as the death of one's son is impossible. Why is that an interesting sentence? Because Prabhupada is saying it's impossible. And let's see what he says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 20 to 23. Here, Krishna is talking about samadhi, being in trance. And Prabhupada says here that a person in transcendental consciousness enjoys transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous. Callous, Prabhupada says. You all know what a callous is? Like when you walk around on bare feet after a while, the skin gets tough, and you can walk on stones and not feel them? Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says he is callous towards incidental occurrences. Incidental means very what? Insignificant, trivial, not important. Such as, and what is Prabhupada going to give as incidental occurrences? Is he going to say someone steals your shoes? Your glasses broke? Somebody calls you an idiot out on Sankirtan? What is Prabhupada's definition of incidental occurrences? Such as accidents? You get in a car accident and all your facial bones are broken and your lung is punctured and that's what accident is. Disease? Do you consider disease an incidental occurrence? Scarcity? I have no money. I have no clothes. And even the death of a most dear relative. Now here Prabhupada says that Maharaj Chitraketu was advised that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as the death of one's son is impossible. So here in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's saying that one can be callous towards small, trivial things like your son dying. And here he's saying that being neutral in such circumstances is impossible. Interesting.
You would like to reconcile.
What?
Would you like to reconcile the two?
Oh, we're going to try. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon Him and to do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. In all circumstances, one should be undisturbed by duality. Now here Prabhupada is saying, in all circumstances, one should be undisturbed by duality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.47, Karman yeva ki karaste, ma paleshu kadachana, ma kamar palahetu bur, ma te sangos to a karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. One should execute one's devotional duty, and for the results of one's actions, one should depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na datta atmahi gunam na dosham na kriyapalam udashina varashina paravara dukishvara. The Supreme Lord, Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that results from fruit of actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. So conditioned soul, by definition, is one who wants kriyapala, one who's looking for fruit. The definition of happiness for a conditioned soul is the results of their activities. I build a house because I want to live in the house and enjoy it. I work a job because I want the money, because I want to buy things that make me happy, and I want a feeling of freedom and power that I get from money. I do things. I go to school because I want a degree. I don't think practically anybody would pay what you have to pay to go to school if there was no degree. Would you take the same courses just for your own personal edification for that amount of money without getting the degree? Not likely. Right? People are doing things because they want the result. That means that the happiness of the conditioned soul is almost always in the future. Now, future is something which is the least like spirituality, because the future never exists. Never, there's never a future. It's always the present. I mean, the past had some existence, so that has some relationship to eternal truth. But really, only the present ever exists. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that the spiritual world is always the present. The future never comes out of the future. So if your happiness is 99% of the future, guess how often you're going to be happy? Not very often. Now, occasionally, you know, when they put the carrot in front of the donkey, occasionally you have to give the donkey the carrot. You can't never give the donkey the carrot. So, you know, you get your degree, and you have your moment of victory when you walk on the stage and you get your diploma. Or you get your house, and you have your moment where you walk in your house and go, oh, exactly the way I wanted. That's, everything's like this, like this. Or you have, you know, the moment of the wedding, where it's like, yes, I have the perfect spouse. Or, you know, the moment of birth. Oh, my son's been born. You know, whatever. You have your moment where you think, yes, I'm enjoying the fruits of my action. And very quickly, it's disappointing. Oh, I told them not to put green tile in the bathroom. Why is there green tile in the bathroom? This isn't the way I wanted it. Oh, I got my degree, but nobody shows me any more respect the day after getting my degree. It's the day before I got my degree. And I'm not any smarter than I was the day before. You know, I got my job, but now I found out my boss is a jerk. And I thought I married the perfect person, and I find out they leave their socks on the floor. And very, very quickly, the thing we're looking for doesn't give happiness. And then what do? We set up another carrot. And we're going for another fruit. And so therefore, this is, of course, the mode of passion and ignorance. The conditioned soul is never really happy. They may have some, as Prabhupada says, mental happiness. Yes, I have this house and this beautiful wife and this nice child and this nice car. But inside, they're always feeling insufficient. And then I want something in the future, in the future, in the future, in the future, in the future. So Krishna's neutral from all this. And of course, then, when your hope is in these things, when they're dashed, when your house burned down, when you lose your job, you know, when your son dies, whatever, then you're crushed. Now all my hopes for happiness are gone. But Krishna's neutral because he's not getting happiness out of distress from external things. He's already his own source. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. Oh, that's okay. That's, I'm going to be like that in a few years, you know.
He was going to bring so much pleasure. We had such high hopes.
We had such high hopes for that, yes. But the living entity who realizes they're not this body, they also realize that their pleasure isn't in the things of this world. That's not where their pleasure is coming from. It's exactly like, you know, you go to Walmart and they're selling television sets and some movie's playing and you walk past it and you don't really care if the hero gets the girl or falls off the cliff. It just doesn't matter to you because you're not involved in the story. You just think, oh, there's people shooting each other on the screen over there. But you're not. So that way, the soul who's, as Prabhupada's saying here, taking shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, who's connecting with the reservoir of pleasure, they're not trying to get pleasure from the fruits of this world. Now, of course, even in the course of our service, we sometimes think that the external results of my service are going to give me happiness. So we sometimes apply this kriya palam. We take the same mentality and apply it to Krishna consciousness. I'll be happy when I build the temple. I'll be happy when I get this preparation done nicely. I'll be happy when I've distributed X number of books. We, again, tie our happiness to something which is, one, external to us, and two, over which we have no control. Now, how can you be happy over something, or distressed over something, that is, number one, has nothing to do with you, and two, over which you have no control? It's very frustrating, isn't it? If my whole source of happiness is of something that has nothing to do with me, any more than the movie in the Walmart, you know, electronics department, and I have no control over it. Can you control how your preparation turns out? Can you control how it turns out? Absolutely. No. The oven may break that day. Sometimes you make a recipe, you know, you've made the same recipe for years, and it's always perfect, and one time you make it, and it just isn't right. Doesn't that happen? Sometimes it happens. I don't understand. I've made the same recipe for 10 years. I could make it in my sleep. How come it hasn't turned out right? You know, and you can do everything. You can eat right when you're pregnant and have a natural birth and teach your kid in Krishna consciousness, and they grow up and they want to be something else. You can have a nice job and, you know, they fire you because you don't get along with the boss. You can exercise and take your vitamins and you can still get cancer. It just, you don't have any control over it. So there's all this anxiety. My happiness is tied to something that I can't do. So now, as long as we have some consciousness like that, then our lamentation will be impossible to avoid. As long as we have some attachment to this world. lamentation will be impossible. I take it in that way, but I take it another way also. That Maharaj Chitraketu was also thinking that having this son was part of his service to Krishna, and it was his service to continue the line. Just like in the Krishna consciousness movement, part of our service is to make sure the movement goes on, that there's some succession. And if there's no successors, then also we have some sorrow that we're not able to serve Krishna nicely. You know, there is some sorrow if you go out and you can't distribute any books and you come home, you know, and haven't done any books. Or, you know, you're ready to make the offering and your preparation is burned because the oven was defective and the temperature wasn't the wrong thing. Or there you are about to leave your body and there's nobody to take over the temple and no one to take over the service. There's some sorrow. That Krishna, I couldn't offer you something. But that's not the sorrow of the materialist that I couldn't enjoy. So we do have to make sure we don't put this enjoyment mentality on our service. So how does a devotee really get happiness? Where does the happiness of the devotee come from? It doesn't really come from the results of their actions, even in devotional service. It really doesn't. The happiness of the devotee doesn't come from, is the preparation delicious, and how many books did I do today, and how big is the temple, and those sort of things that we measure materially. Where does the happiness of the devotee come from? Performance of duty. Well, that's motivating. That I'm doing the right thing, as Prabhupada says here. You do your duty, and the results are up to Krishna. But what mood in doing one's duty? Doing one's duty is the behavior, and what is the internal mood?
Devotional service?
Yes, that just my very act in the present. You switch from future consciousness to present consciousness. Hmm. Present consciousness also may mean I have to make some plans for the future, but I'm making those plans now. How am I relating to Krishna now? Is Krishna pleased with me this moment? Is Krishna pleased with me as I'm mixing up the tomatoes and the peppers, or as they call them in Europe, capsicums? Is Krishna pleased with me as I'm offering the incense? Is every moment is Krishna smiling at me? Now, of course, I also want that the preparation turns out nicely and that I can offer it on the altar, that it's not burned. But at every moment, I'm reciprocating with Krishna. How am I thinking about Krishna now? Is Krishna smiling on me now? Prabhupada says, the residents of Vrindavan, they just want to see Krishna smile. And then whatever happens, that's Krishna's business. If Krishna wants my son to live, that's his business. Krishna wants my son to die, that's his business. I do my best to be healthy. Krishna wants me to be healthy. Fine. He wants me to be sick. Fine. I do my best to drive carefully. If Krishna has a truck ran into me from the other side, that's his business. I do my best to keep the temple nicely. If Krishna has it burned down in a fire, that's his business. You know, whatever the result is, if it becomes wildly successful, that's Krishna's. And if it becomes a failure, that's Krishna. Start a center in Jhansi, it closes, it fails, that's Krishna's business. Come to America and everything's a success, that's Krishna's business. That's not where my happiness comes from. My happiness comes from minute by minute by minute by minute by minute. Am I dedicating everything to Guru and Krishna? And such a person is not going to be disturbed by any external circumstances. They will always be happy wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever the circumstances. Their happiness will be coming from within. And so that is true neutrality. And even sometimes if we're affected and remaining neutral is impossible, still we depend on Krishna. And say, Krishna, you've given me this situation, bad or good, for your purposes. Let me dedicate everything to you. Thank you very much. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda.